And I'm not supposed to talk about his hair today, so we need to
No,
talk
you're
about it.
not supposed to talk about it
I'm
today.
supposed to talk about the wedges he's looking at.
No, I am so excited about this because I don't know if you guys remember when we started the Friday Foursome some almost 4 years ago. Our very first guest was Brandon Stooksbury. Well, Brandon Stooksbury has written a book called The Wedge Book, and I don't know, Jason, can you guess who our guest is next week's Friday Foursome?
I have a pretty good guess.
It's Brandon Stooksbury, and we're going to talk about the Wedge Book. But we're not going to talk about the Wedge Book today. We're going to talk about, well, a lot of things, and golf is pretty much what we're going to talk about. But before we get started, we got Jason Boslow from Shop Junior Golf. Jason, is it, you said how many inches of rain are you going to get?
We are expecting at least 5 inches of rain this weekend.
That's cool, because we get less than 3 a year in Arizona, so
yeah,
just
well.
Saying. If we get like a half an inch on a day, the city just floats
Yeah,
away.
yeah, yeah, yeah. Go on, go on.
Les, how's the weather in your neck of the woods? Is it cold yet?
Hey, it's 80 degrees outside today in the mountains.
Whoa, I honestly didn't expect you to say that. It's going to be 90 yeah. tomorrow, 92 on Sunday, so
nah,
I'm playing 36 holes of golf.
It won't be that hot here.
And I am pumped because, well, I don't even know what time it is where our guest is. He's in Hungary, in Budapest, and he, I feel like, sits across the hallway from me because he writes a blog, and that's what he's here to promote, the Golf Business Monitor. And I literally feel like I leave a comment on any of his blog posts, and within seconds, no matter what time of day it is, he responds. So it is my pleasure to welcome Miklos Brittner to the Friday Foursome. Miklos, where are you, and what time is it? It might be like 2 in the morning where you are.
No, it's I'm in a much better situation. It's 9:30 in Budapest.
It's almost dinner time, and it's the weekend.
I drank my PGT, and I'm just fine. And a couple of Red Bulls. And
well, take a couple of minutes and tell us what your blog is all about, what you do with golf. I mean, I've been following you for quite some time and getting really involved lately into commenting on your blog. But just take 2 minutes and give us the elevator pitch of who you are and what the blog is all about.
So, by profession, I'm a senior online marketing professional with vast experience on both agency and marketer side, like Citigroup or Sanofi or UPC. UPC is the largest Hungarian cable company. And when I was on the agency side, we had a client luxury portal where I was in charge of sales. And as part, one of the topics of the website was about golf. It was in 2009 when I had no clue almost about the golf industry and what we're all about. I just know what is mini golf. But when I visited a Hungarian golf club, I started to understand that this is the place for me. And I also thought when I was in a jacuzzi that maybe I should start to write about my ideas, how I would manage a golf club, how I would improve the operations, the marketing activity, the sales initiatives, and in parallel also to write reviews about other companies' actions and mistakes, maybe. So this started more than 6 years ago. Today I am I have a wide network of contributors. One of them is some of them are PR agencies who have golf clients. Some of them direct companies like Troon. And here's the ad for Ricky and his company. Like Chris Strauss and Brett. So they're also helping me to understand better the golf industry, but of course many others like Callaway or Easy Links or just a few to mention, or HSBC. So they all they found me somehow in some way, thanks to the social media, thanks to LinkedIn mainly and Twitter. And today I think I'm covering almost all business areas of the golf industry, whether it's golf club management or golf club marketing or golf tourism or golf equipment. Of course, I don't pretend to be a golf club, golf equipment expert, so mainly I'm sharing the latest news about the latest clubs of Wilson staff or Cleveland Golf or Strixon or Nike or whatever it can be. Of course, I got some remarks that I see as an average golfer in this what they consider innovation, but I think it's not always a truly innovation, what they are saying, but let's believe that it's something new. So this is how I'm working. Quite recently, I changed my blog to a new design and new blog motor, blog engine that is more mobile friendly, and it's more easy to digest, I think, if you compare, and more exciting than the old version when I used TypePad. Probably none of you are using TypePad, but somehow, for, I don't know, for unknown reasons, I chose in 2009 this blog engine instead of WordPress. And this is how I'm today. I'm also an official media partner of the PGAs of Europe. I think it's a great recognition, and I hope some others will hire me or join my business.
Well, that's really cool, and one of the things that I know that you do is write a lot about golf and golf business, hence the name of the blog. And I know, Jason, I'm glad I was sitting down when I got your questions, because they were really good this week, so just go ahead.
So, you know, I think it's an interesting perspective coming from a marketing person and not a golf person when it comes to the golf industry. You know, what do you see as some of golf's biggest challenges right now from a business point of view?
Well, what I see, the challenge is how we can entice women to golf, how we can make a golf affordable and a kind of open society that is welcoming all sorts of people. I think how we utilize technology that I think is not so well used in many clubs, that could drive more revenue, how can you provide best focus offers and not general, how you can provide a even better customer experience that is beyond what we are offering today, that is very old school, I think. So have a caddy car, it's nice, have a pro shop in the golf club, it's nice, but how you can go beyond that, how you can use such things as wearables in retail communication or with your customers. This is, I think, a big issue. Or how you what is the right phrase for it? Measure the what people are really thinking about you. How you whether it's using the Net Promoter Score as a tool or a social media monitoring software. I think these are the what I see is the major challenges, and I think what I see is also that these golf club manufacturers are starting to understand that they should start to provide services, not just simply a great golf club or golf ball, but beyond that.
So you mentioned the word wearables, and wearables is a big thing right now in golf. There's a lot of companies out there doing it. And Les, I don't know if you know this, but the Friday Foursome is sponsored by Greenskeeper.org. One of their members had a great question about wearables, so thank you for that transition.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's good. And he wanted to know, how do you think smart wearable technology is, and is it going to impact golf? So I know that you just wrote about game golf, and we were talking about Arcos on your blog. So discuss kind of your thoughts on wearables and where you see that going.
So what I think about wearables, it can be, if I'm a I'm watching from a marketer perspective, then it could give more product information. And I think everybody's watching their mobile, using their mobiles during their shopping. So. I think this could be used to give more information about the product, and if even to show people the way how to find your product, and with your colleagues at all. So, what if I don't know if you, I'm sure you seen those near field communication solutions that were used in the Ryder Cup in Scotland, or in the in Wales. So these are just the top of the iceberg, I think, what we can are using today as wearables. And when it comes to game golf or Arcos golf, I think this should be, and I think What I see also see that mass communication and one size fits all is not going to be good. And these tools will help you have a more personal trainer that is dedicated to you, their solution, and not for everybody. Because although there are many similar mistakes, but I think there are many, many personal mistakes as well when you're playing golf. And I work for myself, so I tried the Zap Golf, whether it can show me anything where I should improve. I wasn't so impressed by the gadget. But it's a good start, so it's a good starting point where they can improve, and everybody can improve. What I thought to Ricky in the blog that these gadgets are nice, but I think they should use smartwatches, so there is more. So it's a more practical. I think that it's a multifunctional solution and not just for one thing. So I have so many gadgets on my table. And my golf bag is too small for it, so let's put it in everything in one. So, like in the Nescafe, 3-in-1, 4-in-1. So,
this is what awesome.
Personal, this is what's comfortable for you. So, and this is what I think it was smart. What the whole 19, I don't know if you know this mobile application developer that they came out. I think they were the first in the golf industry that developed a mobile application for Apple Watch and for Android.
So,
innovators.
Jason's got a good question about junior golf, and we're going to get to that in a second because I feel bad. Les has been sitting there so patiently and hasn't been saying a word. He's not watching TV. So, Les, go ahead.
I'm easygoing. No problem.
Well, I just wanted to welcome you to the Friday Foursome. And, I like to look at golf as a fan of the professional game, and my question has to do with that: is why do American golf fans not follow the European and World Tours as much as they do the PGA Tour?
I hardly hear you. Can you speak a little bit louder?
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's better.
Yeah. Why do American golf fans not follow the European Tour and the other world tours?
I think there can be a couple of reasons. One of them is maybe that you in the States are faster than us, and for it's like watching a movie from the 90s. Today it looks like a very slow movie.
what a great way to put it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
These are maybe just guessing, but the see that how you play golf and what is the role of golf in the American life. I just read the book of in the Kingdom of Golf, American writer. I just have to find out his name. I think his name is Moss, who wrote about this phenomenon or how you in America are. Maybe I will find it. No, I just deleted it from my wish list on Amazon. So one thing is that the pace of game, how you are playing, and how you managing your golf course is that it's more shiny, and it's really fabulous. I'm really envy. I'm really sad that I was born in Hungary and not in the States. One of the reasons why I'm... this is one thing I think the possibilities, the number of golf courses are much more limited in Hungary, not in Hungary, in generally in Europe, and if you are, and I think you have to be more open to other tournaments than the PGA Tour in America. So,
yeah.
I think it's the Asian tour is also interesting. See the Koreans and the folks from Taipei, or so it's really crazy. So this is what I would say about why Americans are not so interested, because everybody wants to go to America and not to come to Europe. even if golf is from Scotland and they, there are many theories that it actually is from the Netherlands and not from or from Scotland, but I would like to open discussion.
Yeah.
We only have so much time here.
So I noticed on your golf blog you had a post about I noticed on your golf blog you had a post about a junior golf clothing brand, and being as you know, my interest in golf is predominantly surrounded around junior golf. From an industry point of view and from a consultant point of view, what is the state of junior golf, and what do others in your industry kind of think about junior golf right now?
Well, this topic not the main focus of my blogs are about how these TFIRs and other programs are performing. So it's really hard to find. But what I think is should golf clubs and golf club management companies like Troon, you know, there's to find out how you can make golf relevant to kids, how you can be able to compete with the Xbox and the other.
Yeah.
So this is a challenge, and I think it also needs some demands a certain personality to find golf interesting. So I don't recommend to do like the guy in the Caddyshack when he turned the whole golf club to an amusement park.
That was pretty fun, though. I mean, the clown, that's pretty, yeah. So I'm going to go back to greenskeeper.org real quick, and I don't think this is going to happen, and I think that just out of the mental side of this, it's never going to happen for me, but Johnny GK wants to know, do you think that we will ever see a microchip in a golf ball on a golf course?
Good question.
He's speechless.
Yeah, I will talk if you don't mind. I think at this moment there is I think the guy is from or from Switzerland or from Germany, who I don't know if he's the first who invented this findable ball. So there's a microchip in the golf ball that communicates with your mobile application.
I saw that.
But this is total, as they claim at least, that there is in line with the R&AA regulation and the US PGA. So it's a why not? The question is that the performance of the ball. I think that if it can compete, but I think these balls cannot be used in competitions just for fun and for practicing. But again, all these sensor-based solutions will be a great part of the near future, where we are going to bring better services, whether it's for kids, because it can be also used for entertaining them, also to provide more, to drive more sales for the F&B or for your pro shop. So, yes, don't be afraid to believe in.
Well, I've got one more question myself here. What effect will the putter anchor ban have on the golfing public, both maybe here and abroad?
Cheaters. Cheaters.
I mean, that was for Jason. I had to ask that question for Jason.
Hey, it won't affect me one way or another because I still have it. So.
One by one.
Is everybody there?
Yeah, Miklos, you're the star here, so the questions are all for you.
Okay. See, I have to get used to it, okay. So what I see that whistle bands are more popular. So if you've seen my last post about Game Golf Live, then I found an interesting stat from Forrester Research. And it showed that we prefer wristband over others. So this is what I think it should be taken more seriously, the Apple Watch and Android Watch in the future.
So in talking about technology, one of my questions was related around the golf equipment. Do you think the technology in all of the new golf equipment has helped or hurt the industry?
Well, I think that the solutions like GameGolf or Aerocos or Zep or TomTom or others, I think if they can truly help you have a better experience with golf, then people will like to go out and play golf, even if they're not the best players like me. I'm also struggling with my swings, but I don't really care, just have fun. But if they can really help you to develop or improve, then I think they are good. Personally, I don't like these cameras that are using many people on the golf course to find out the distance. I think it should be more about fight against the nature and enjoy that you are in the nature and not in the office. And I don't mind to have these mobile applications like Hole 19.
What about the technology? Technology from an equipment point of view, like the different technology that's going into the clubs now. And the golf balls, that type of stuff. Do you think that's helping or hurting the industry? Being able to have a semi-average golfer hit the ball 300 yards or whatever.
If I understand it correctly, yes, it's. I think it's not a good thing that the latest golf clubs, whether it's a driver or other type of golf clubs. We were able to hit even farther, and this is not good because a golf club cannot buy more land. Just so it's a nonsense.
That's a good point.
I think it's the mix. So it's not about how good at your swing, just hit like an idiot, and it's not. It won't be good for the golf club and the. And not to forget, so we don't have time anymore for 18-hole golf courses. So it's really time-consuming. So people will prefer smaller golf courses with 9 holes. So this is what I think. Maybe not totally related, but I think the same. This is a problem when my concern with this super golf club that we hit really far, but this is not about golf. It's about how you manage or challenge the nature, and today it's not so much about this. It's more about the length and the forgiveness and
Jason, I hope that was a good last question because that was your last question, and I'm going to force Les to ask his last question to be about a certain topic. So Les, let's talk LPGA.
Yeah, I was just I was just curious as to what you think the LPGA needs to do to further market its product. It doesn't do well here, and I'm not sure how it does in Europe, but what can they do to help it?
Well, I'm not in the unlike Bitruan or Callaway, I'm not in daily connection with LPGA, but I think, of course, they should do much more and find a way how they can cooperate with the golf clubs and golf club management companies. And this is one side. The other side is to think about the golf clubs themselves should understand better what are the needs of these female golfers, how they can market better their services and their golf course to women, because I think they will influence a lot about how many men will go out and play golf. So the family issue is we cannot neglect this aspect.
Yeah.
So and it's also through how you are what is your sortiment in your pro shop, what colors, what shape, what design, or how they can socialize themselves in your golf club. And this is what is missing, I think, still a machoist world. And this is not good for the golf. So when it's okay, in Europe, there are some countries that are really good in absorbing women to golf, like in the Netherlands or Austria or Germany. But the UK have a big problem with this, and around 15% or 20% the
really
the penetration of women. So this is have to be solved because it's a big money in that, and then women have quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's one more question from greenskeeper.org, but it's really long and it's from Ringworld, so I'm not going to be able to answer it, but I'm going to send it to you via email. If you could answer it, I'll make sure he gets it and sees it, because it'd take me 10 minutes to read this question. But so, Jason, enjoy the weather that you have coming up. I told you, Miklos, this half an hour was going to fly by. We only have a couple of minutes left. Enjoy the wet weather. Les, go play golf if it's 80 degrees where you are. But Miklos, before we let you go, we have this segment called The Back Nine, and it's just nine fun golf-specific questions. I know you like to talk about golf on your blog, so I think you'll be fine doing it here. Are you ready for your back nine?
Wow.
He's like, what?
What?
You didn't say anything about this, man.
I didn't sign up for this.
Sorry, too bad. No way out. All right, so if you could write about any topic...
And maybe I'll come up with my own questions. Sorry.
If you could write about any topic other than golf, what topic would you pick?
I wouldn't start... I like politics and history, and if I started to talk about the politics, it can be... Can be good, and maybe we have different view on politics and Trump versus Obama or.
Hang on. That's my fault for asking. This is a golf show. Let's not go there.
See, this is what I.
So we just talked about the LPGA Tour. Who's your favorite LPGA Tour player?
At this moment, I don't have a real favorite one. So I follow them. I think. How did you call it? This Australian lady.
She's so much your favorite. You don't even know her name.
Kari Webb.
Funny name. So Asian names. That it's hard. Never mind.
What golf ball do you play?
My clubs are Wilson stuff. My balls are so different. So it's from a starting from a Strixon to a Titleist. So
all over the board.
Pardon?
So this was a hot topic in the golf community this week. And I don't know, Jason, the less of you guys saw this, but when you get done playing a round of golf, you remove your hat and shake the hands of your playing competitors. Yes or no?
Yes, of course.
Yes. Matt, I hope you're watching because that question was for you. So, what are some of your favorite local beers? Not beers that you can get anywhere else, just some local stuff.
Well, when I heard that you are going to the Czech Republic, I recommended to jump over to Budapest because we also have some good beers, but we are more famous for our Palinka and red wine. And
okay. Yeah, beer's better. So.
As good as the Californian one.
It wasn't hashtag Euro Wine Trip 15.
So next time, make a wine trip and come to Hungary.
Nope, I'll make a wine trip and cross it out and drink beer anyway. What is your favorite PGA Tour major championship? You have four to choose from.
As a European, I prefer the Open.
I'm glad you didn't call it the British Open. That is such a pet peeve for me. Have you ever had an ace?
No.
No, me either. That's all right. I don't feel bad. Jason or Les, have you guys had one? I'm sure Les has had six.
I've had two. I've had
yeah,
two.
Rub it in. All right. Okay, so
Jace has had one.
Of course he has. He's like 11 and or hey, 7. I don't even know how old he is.
Hey, I'm old. I've probably played more golf than you have.
Yeah, probably. So I'm gonna ask this one with a little ounce of disappointment, but a little also ounce of excitement, because it doesn't look like he's gonna play in 2015, 2016. But Les, plug your ears, earmuffs. Do you think Tiger breaks Jack's record? And to give you an idea, he thinks he still can. This is not you're not the guest. No. I liked you until now. Why? Why do you say that?
All my due respect to Mr. Tiger. He is great. I like him. But with such a health problem that he's got, it's really tough. And I think even if he don't care about what will happen after the game, it doesn't worry.
All right. So, well, I don't like your answer. That's why I save it till the end, because we can be friends until you give me that answer. And your final question of your Friday foursome is, what's next for you and the Golf Business Monitor?
Well, among my plans to have a newsletter to develop when I have more manpower around me, find some sponsors that would think that it's worth to be my sponsor, and I'm really open to many solutions.
Very cool. Well, thank you for taking the time to come on. I know, your Red Bull might be wearing off now, so it's almost time for bed. And I know that not as much as some other websites. And because of the fact that I asked one question for him already, I normally end with the comment, "Make less bogeys." But the other day, speaking of that, guys, I got into a pretty heated discussion on Twitter because someone said it was "make fewer bogeys." And I was like, really? Because that sounds cool. And it doesn't sound anywhere near as cool. So it may not help you do that, but make sure you check out the Golf Business Monitor. This Friday Foursome is going to be shared in the golf community. Maybe it'll appear on your website. It'll be on iTunes within a podcast within 48 hours. There's all kinds of ways to engage with this. And
or what? Actually, you know what? I think I'm really thinking about is how I can come up with a YouTube brand channel that it will be about all of this. What I'm writing down, I will say to a camera and hope people, some will start to think about it, even if they don't agree with what I say, or even if I make mistakes, because of course everybody makes mistakes. Just start to think differently keep on moving. So
just don't talk about politics and you'll be good.
Yeah.
Miklos, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm going to say it, as Matt Rust always says, and this weekend I hope all of us that are playing golf make less bogeys.